Praise God. Glad to be here today. Why don't you open your Bibles to Jeremiah 29. Been talking about plans this whole year. You know, a few services here. Discovering God's plan, moving forward in God's plan. And so we want to talk a little bit more about that today. Has the Lord been showing you some things? Getting any direction? Hopefully you are. But Jeremiah 29 is always a good verse for any time during the year, but especially during the beginning of the year. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Don't you like that? And not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. We have a listening God, a listening Father. And you read over in 1 John 5, and if you talk to Him according to His will, according to the Word, not only does it say that He listens, but He'll hear and He'll act upon your prayers and bring it to pass. So God, I mean, I want you to know, and you know, as we started this year, I want you to know that God has big plans for you. God has big plans for your family, for your kids, for your household. And I want you to know that your future is bright. You have a hope today. You have a bright future. And I know there's days that it doesn't feel like it. And there's days that the trials and tribulations of this life, you feel like, you know, where am I going? It seems like I'm going backwards. But I want you to know today that God's got a hope and a future for you, something awesome. And you need to be reminded of how big His plan is for you. Ephesians 3:20. You know, we like to say, call it E320. I don't know if you ever heard me say that. E320. It's from this verse, and I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. And it just gives you a little bit of glimpse of how big God's plan is for you and for your life. Now to Him who, in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, God is working in us, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly. Everybody say super abundantly. Super abundantly. Isn't that a good word? Super abundantly. I like that. Far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. God made us to think big. God made us to dream big. God made us to have big thoughts and big ideas. And so if you've been getting those this year or you have in the past, I want you to know that's from God. And that's His desire. And not only does He want to give you these big thoughts and dreams and hopes, He wants to bring them to pass and then do it super abundantly, more than you can dare conceive. I mean, that's pretty good. Everybody say this. God, my Heavenly Father, has big plans for me. Now point to your neighbor and says, He has big plans for you too. And we ought to be encouraging each other to think and dream big. Encourage each other in these dreams, to believe and to have a hope. And so I want you to know, one of the things I want you to know as we're getting in this message today, God's got a big tomorrow for you. He's got a big tomorrow for you. Let's look over in Habakkuk chapter 2. And I haven't done it this year, but a lot of times I'll take a Wednesday and doing a message called Write Your Vision. I don't know if I'll do it this year or not. Kind of follow the Holy Spirit there. But I do a message on writing your vision as God's giving your ideas and giving things to you. I like to use this verse here of how to bring those things He's giving you to pass. Habakkuk 2 verse 1 says, I will stand and watch and stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what He will say to me. You have to be listening. You got to have a year to God. I mean, not, you know, only, I mean, every time, but as we're starting our new year, you got to be listening, your ear leaning towards God. And he will say to me, and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets. Now, I'm the big promoter of the legal pad, the yellow legal pad. I have probably burned through more legal pads in my history than this whole room put together. Susie, is that true? I go through stacks of, you know, Office Depot loves it when I walk in there, man. It's like more legal pads going out the door. And I just like to write things down. And I like to dream and I like to imagine. And as things come and put them down on paper. And he says, you know, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So the big dreams and the big plans and the big vision that God has for your life, I just want to tell you today and encourage you today, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. And you need to maybe look at this often, because there's a lot of days we don't feel like it's come to pass. But we've got a word from God. It shall come to pass. That's why we need faith. We need faith and patience to inherit the promises. We all want to talk about the faith, but who loves to talk about the patience? Patiently enduring the situations that we're facing. Now, I love the miracle testimonies, and I love talking about big plans and big ideas, and I love it when God does extraordinary things. Who likes to hear miracle testimonies? I mean, don't you love about hearing about extra people that are ordinary doing extraordinary things? But what do you do from the time that you say amen until the time that it comes into being? What do we do between that period of time? What do we do, you know, when our prayer is becoming a reality? The Bible says there are steps. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. It doesn't say leaps. Now, don't you wish it was leaps? The leaps of a righteous man, the jumps, the bounding of a righteous man. Wouldn't that be a better scripture? Wouldn't that be a little more exciting? I mean, how many like steps? Steps are so boring. Don't you just want to run? No, steps. That is so boring. How many of you have on your mirror in your bathroom in real big letters, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord? Anybody? But that's just, this is a word for us today. Little things today lead to a big tomorrow. Little things that we're doing today, the steps that we're taking today will lead to leaps. It will lead to progress. It will lead to miracles. And we have to realize that. And that this is God's way and this is God's plan. Psalm 140 verse 4 says, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. Enemies trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Get you to stumble as you're taking your steps. He wants to get you off track. And it's easy to miss the big things that God has for us by not taking the right steps. Now, you can turn there because we'll read maybe a verse or two out of there. But look over in 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. There was a king by the name of Joram. And he is ruling at a time when the Israel is divided into different kingdoms. And one of the kings in that area rebels against Joram and threatens him. And he's very concerned. He's afraid. And what do you do when you're in a crisis? Hopefully, you call your friends, right? Call your neighbors and say, hey, we need some help here. So he talked to other kings, King Jehoshaphat, talked to the king of Edom. And he gathered armies together to make a huge force, a huge army, overwhelming army to march and take down the king of Moab and his armies. And so they get this big army together and they start heading towards where King Moab and his forces are. And I don't know if you've read this in history. I've done, you know, read about the Romans and read about the Civil War and read about, you know, the Revolutionary War and all these different things. And one of the big things with armies is you got to feed them. You got to feed them. You got to give them water. They got to have equipment. And we almost, you know, our this country almost didn't exist because our army almost starved to death in Valley Forge. Froze and starved to death. I mean, it was coming down to a few thousand men. And it was desperate, desperate situation. I mean, to go out and get food. I mean, they were eating bark. They were eating just whatever they could eat. And so it's vital for an army to have food and water. Well, they came into a situation where these armies, they ran out of water. And it got so serious and they got so weakened that now they were threatened, even though they had the bigger force. And King Joram is suddenly concerned. Now he's scared again. And it's interesting, you know, so he talks to the other kings and now he's scared and he says, you know, we need to find a prophet. Isn't that funny how, like in ourselves, we're like confident in ourselves, but then when it becomes, you know, it just gets so serious, well, let's go ahead and call on God now. Why don't we just go ahead and call on God first? So they want to know, is there a prophet around? I mean, they don't even know what the prophet is. That's like the guy with a trial and where's my Bible? Get it. Where's the prophet? And so they find out where the prophet is and they find Elisha. And they want to get a word from God. Well, good news. 2 Kings 3, verse 17. You want to hear some good news? For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Praise God. Victory in Jesus. I mean, isn't that awesome? A miracle. There's going to be water. We're going to have water. God's going to come through. We're going to make it and we're going to defeat this army. But, you know, and we want to jump to verse 17, but maybe we should read verse 16. Now, I was an accountant, and I really like math, and 16 comes before 17. Is that right? All the young people, these smart young people over here, is that right? So let's read verse 16. What does that say? And he said, thus says Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Ah. We had such great news. Now we got bad news. Make this valley full of ditches. Now, in order for the big things to happen in your life, we're going to have to do some small things. Sometimes the faith walk is not very glamorous. Sometimes you got to roll up your sleeves. Sometimes you got to go out and grab the shovel. And at my house, we have a lot of running water, hills and creeks and ponds and all kind of water issues at our house. And so, you know, I got to dig some canal sometimes to handle the water. We got different sewers and drains, but it doesn't handle all the water. And there's different places I've got to dig canals. And we have this clay around here. And how many like to go out there and just dig in the clay? You ain't going to bury no bodies in our backyard because it's not going to happen. Not that I want to. But it's difficult to dig out there, digging these ditches. It's hard work. Even just a little Panama Canal, just a little canal, it's a lot of work. But you got to roll up your sleeves, you got to go grab the shovel, and you got to start digging, and And so the prophet says to him, we got to dig some ditches. God's going to bring the rain, but you're going to have to be a part of this miracle. You're going to have to go out and dig some ditches. And so they got everybody together. Now they're tired. You ever been tired? They're tired. They're thirsty. They're hungry. And God says to them, go dig some ditches. I mean, that's not the word you want to hear. And so they got to go out and dig some ditches. And they go out and do it. I mean, they dug as many ditches as possible. And sure enough, the next day, those ditches were full of water. God brought the rain, but they had to dig the ditches. That's a good word. God brought the rain. He'll bring the rain. But many, many times, we've got a part to play. Even when we get saved, you have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You have to confess Jesus as Lord. God's not going to do it for you. He wants all these things. But by faith, certain things we have to do. He didn't make me be filled with the Holy Spirit. I had to read and open up myself to God. And I had to actually begin to speak. So there's parts that we play in miracles. And there's parts that we play in what God, these big plans that God wants to do tomorrow. And doesn't the Bible say faith without works is dead? One translation says faith without corresponding action is dead. How many like that verse? Faith without corresponding actions is dead. And so there's things that were to do. Now, I graduated from Oral Roberts in 1988. I met Susie out at ORU and had a wonderful dating relationship. And she just loved at first sight. She was just smitten by me. Is that how it went, Susie? Me and my duffel bag. Susie married me for my money. I was loaded in faith. That's about all I had. Me and Jesus. Me and Jesus having a good time. That's all I had. Nothing worth anything in that duffel bag.
I thought there was money in it.
You thought there was money in it? Had you fooled. But for whatever reason, she married me. And I finished up my last year at ORU. I was on the 7-year college plan. Anybody else? It's an amazing plan. I don't recommend it, though. But anyway, I graduated in 1988 with a history degree and political science minor, which was in great demand. People were just beating down my door when we moved to Augusta with job offers coming from everywhere. Well, why did you pick that major? Well, I would like to say that it was God and the Holy Spirit, but it was the fastest way I could get it to graduate was to have a history degree. That's a pretty sad testimony. But that's the truth. I called the guy one day. I said, what's the fastest way I can get out of here? And that's what he told me. He said, just take these classes and you'll be done. So I did. So I fell back on some... anyway, I fell back on some great wisdom from my grandmother. And she said, you know, Matt, this is when I was a real young assistant. She said, Matt, you need to get you a skill. You need to have some kind of skill that skill will open up doors for you. And then when times get tough, she went through the depression. So she, when times get tough, you'll have that skill to fall back on and it will help you. So I was really desperate when I came to Augusta. I was looking for all any kind of advice. So I thought of this from my grandmother. You know, so I said, okay, what are some things I can do? And I realized, okay, my grandfather was an accountant. And I liked math and I was good with numbers. And I said, you know what? I'll go back to school, get me a master's in business, and work on accounting. And that'll give me some skills that I need to, you know, to get some job offers. Well, so I ended up taking 10 prerequisite classes to get in the master's program. 6 additional accounting classes, and then 10 MBA program MBA classes to finish my MBA. But anyway, so in 88, I come and I go ahead and do the things and take the test and get into school. And then I start thinking, okay, if I want to be an accountant, what are some things that I need to do? Because being an accountant, that's my dream at this point, is the big thing. But what are the steps? What are the steps I need to take to fulfill the dream? Well, first of all, I got to start going to my classes. I got to start going to my classes, and I have to actually pass my classes. And then I thought, well, you know, I need to work in that area, and I got several jobs in the accounting area. They didn't necessarily pay a whole lot, but it was experience. Other things I did is... they would have job fairs, and they had a job placement center at Augusta State. And so I would go over there all the time looking at jobs, looking at qualifications, and worked on my resume, you know. They helped me, you know, write that. And I'd go to job fairs, and I would go several times. I went to Atlanta on these interview deals where you can go and interview for like 7 or 8 jobs in one day. I did several of those because I wanted to get better at taking interviews. You see, there was steps. And one of the job fairs I went to, and I had my resume, and I was dressed in a tie and dressed like an accountant of what I wanted to be. And I went around to different places, and I met this other guy that was kind of, he wasn't even at a table, he was just standing there. And I just went up and introduced myself, and he was the head of a CPA firm here in town. And I told him I was just looking for some part-time work. And he said, you know what? We got a job opening. It's not a glamorous job. We got a job opening at our firm. And they call it a runner. And what the runner does is he delivers accounting work to the clients and picks it up and brings it back to the firm. So I did that. I took the job and I did that. And then my other big job was shredding documents. Hours upon hours of shredding documents. Now, how many know that's a glamorous job? Who wants to shred documents? But you know, I was working on a plan and working on a tomorrow and working on something for God, and there were things I needed to do along the way to go where I felt God was leading me to go. And they weren't glamorous, and they seem so insignificant. But they all came together when the head of the job placement at Augusta State called me about a job for Federal Paperboard. See, I knew the person, and I knew that office because I went in there all the time. They worked with me on my resume. It wasn't a job that was listed. It wasn't even a job in the paper. But she knew about it and knew they were coming to Augusta State, and she called me because she knew me and knew what I was interested in. And so I met the people and had some good interviews because I had some interview experience. And then they called me back on the phone and did a phone interview. And then I went through like three or four more interviews. And then I had a recommendation from this accounting firm, head of the accounting firm. The guy is now out of the master's in charge of their operations out there. I got a letter of recommendation from him because I shredded documents well, and I drove well, and I did so well in delivering the different things. They started giving me accounting work. And then so I go through all the interviews, and I come to the final interview with the controller. This is the big guy. This is the guy that makes all the decisions in the accounting area. And frankly, have you ever had one of those interviews you just felt like it didn't go well? I mean, he was real quiet. I mean, I'm asking him questions. I'm interviewing him because he doesn't have anything to say. I'm just, you know, trying to fill up the time because it's just so awkward. We're just sitting there looking at each other. And I walk out of there, well, that job's not mine. Sure enough, the next day they call me, offer me a job, full-time job, great benefits in accounting. And I find out later that one of the reasons that he liked me was because I had a history degree. God brought the rain. But I had to dig the ditches. That history degree was one big ditch. It was a 7-year ditch. And boy, I dug. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not getting anywhere. But it paid off. But see, there was a lot of little things that I had to do on a daily basis. Little things like showing up, being on time, having a good attitude, trying to contribute. And how many people are just getting by and they're waiting for their big day, their big miracle? And I hope it comes. I really do. I hope it comes. But let me ask you, what ditches are you digging today? What are you doing that's not fun and not exciting and not glamorous? God's going to bring the rain. He promised to bring the rain. He's got a hope and a future for you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to do Ephesians 3:20 for you. But you know, are we going to cooperate with Him? Are we going to do our part? Now, this I Give Life course is amazing. I'm a little biased, but see, I'm right here on the cover. It's amazing because I'm right there. No. It's an amazing course. It's got 34 different people on here. And it's really a summary and a testimony and things that we've learned over the years from you and from giving life here at Good News Church. And already, I don't know how many copies are out there, 70, 75 maybe. But they're going out to churches, individuals, study groups. This DVD here could change a city. This DVD here could change a nation. I believe that. But it all came out of an idea from Jim Newton over in Australia that wanted the materials and the things that we were doing at Good News Church. He wanted to know how we did it, and he wanted to have some outlines, and he wanted to have a course that he could use over there because we could only get to do so much in the in the week that we were there. And they wanted more. So he challenged us to do this. And it started off with Susie writing some outlines. And it was a battle, wasn't it, Susie, to write those outlines? There's a lot of ditches. Every outline was a huge ditch. I mean, to try to put it down, what do you need to have in there? All the different things. And then from the outlines, we had to have planning meetings and had to begin to talk about how we do it. And it was very daunting. And it was just like, man, this is going to be difficult. How are we going to do this? But it started by just sharing ideas and doing one ditch and one ditch and one ditch until they ended up at Eddie's house with a group of, you know, guys led by Harry. That's kind of scary. Working all night. Digging a lot of ditches. It was pretty glamorous, wasn't it, Harry? Yeah. What were you guys eating? Donuts? What were Cheez-Its?
Yeah.
Boxes of Cheez-Its. Breakfast of Champions. Cheez-Its. Whole lot of things went into this. Little things. To have a big tomorrow, a whole lot of little things. So I just want to encourage you today about the practical side of faith. Because sometimes we can get so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. I'm going to try to see how many cliches I can work into my message today. Can spiritualize it. And we need to be in the Word and praying and confessing the Word and all the things we've been talking about. But there are practical things and there are things that you need to be doing. And you need to enjoy the little things because life is about the little things. Well, I don't want to do the little things, Pastor Matt. I don't want to roll up my sleeves. I don't want to dig the ditches. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I'll just believe with you and we'll just wait together. Waiting for my miracle. Waiting for things to change. Waiting for my finances to get better. Waiting for my body to get in shape. That's what you did, Nate. To get in shape, you just sat and ate donuts and watched TV all day long. How many pounds did you lose, Nate?
Almost 60.
Almost 60 pounds. I mean, that's a lot of donuts and a lot of TV watching. But you have to, you know, make a decision. You know, what do I want? And you have to start somewhere. Financial issues are not going to just improve overnight. Situations in your body. God will do miracles, but if you keep living the same way. And what about these dreams and these things that He's been saying to you about your future? What kind of practical things are you doing today to move towards your dream? And to be honest, and I can speak for all of us, and do we work for God or do we work for our boss? If we work for our boss, then that may be some level of performance. But if you work for God, shouldn't that be your best, even at a job you don't like? Boy, I wish I would have slipped in today. I don't want to hear that message. It's hard to show up and it's hard to have a good attitude. I don't want to have a good attitude today. I want to cause trouble today. I want to give my boss a big headache, just like he gives to me. I don't want him to get promoted, so I'm going to do everything I can to make him look bad. Well, that's a really good strategy for miracles. Sow bad seed. That's what I'll do. I'll sow bad seed today. Well, you got to remember the scripture from last week from Galatians 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And we grow weary in, I am tired of doing the right thing. You ever say that? Why do I have to do right? Everybody else just does whatever they want. Why do I have to do right? Why can't I ever just say my side of the story? Because I got a higher standard that I'm living to. I'm a faith person. I trust in God. He's my source. No man puts me over. No man promotes me. No man makes me something. God makes me something. He's made me something. So there's a practical side, and I know it's hard, and I know it's tough, but there's a practical side to things. And so the things that he's talking to you, you know, if you're looking at your year, 2013, you could get a piece of paper, get your legal pad, and you can write down on a piece of paper, things I can't change. I can't change the economy. I can't change the weather. And so all these things you can't change, just write those things down and then go ahead and gripe about them and complain about them for about 15 minutes to start your day. Gas prices, inflation, my boss, all these different things. Go ahead and gripe about those for about 15 minutes and then go ahead and stop. And then on the other side, write down the things I can change. And then for the rest of your day, start thinking about what can I do today to change these things that's within my power to change. And what are the steps? Here's the big thing here. What are the practical steps? And maybe you need to talk to somebody about it. Maybe you need to get some groups together. Maybe, you know, let's talk about it. What are the practical steps I can do? Nate, what happened to you when you decided you're going to make a change in your body? What happened? Or hold it. Come up here, Nate. You were looking. Go ahead, and you got to dig another ditch, Nate. Go ahead. Tell me what changed in you, and what did you do to get things moving in your life?
Well, first I had to change my mindset. I had to realize that nothing was going to change unless I did something. And everybody knows how to lose weight. You eat right and exercise. But the sad part is nobody does it. And if you don't do what's necessary, you won't get to your end result and reach the goal that you want.
Did something happen, though? I mean, were you just, like, fed up?
Oh, yeah. Or had that day when you look in the mirror and you're just disgusted with what you see? Yeah, I was at that point. And I realized something had to change.
Then what'd you do?
I got a program. I got an exercise program and started doing it. Press and play every day.
And were there times when you quit or you stopped for a while?
No. No, I pressed play every single day. I finished the program. Didn't quit.
How long is it? When did you start, Nate?
It was January of 2011.
January.
Mm-hmm.
January.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
That's right.
Are you glad you did?
Absolutely.
And every day you're still doing little things?
That's right.
You want to maintain what you got?
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to encourage you. You know, maybe there's the debt mountain. We don't even go there. What are some practical things I can do about debt? What are some practical things I can do about my finances? What are some practical things I can do about my career? Growing in the things of God. And see, God sets it up. You just don't grow overnight. It's seeds planted. He's got giftings in you. You got to develop those giftings. Yes. School is an awesome thing because school places demands. Yes. It's very difficult sometimes to grow in certain areas without a teacher or a coach or somebody mm-hmm. helping you. Mm-hmm. Those are some little things. They put demands on you. Great verse. Over in Philippians chapter 1. You doing okay today? You loving this? Loving it or hating it? Who loves it? Who hates it? Be honest. Michelle, I just love you. You are a neat person. Michelle, she'll tell it to you straight. But anyway, that's good. Philippians 1, verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul writing. I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has had the opposite of its intended effect. This is Message translation. Instead of being squelched, the message has actually prospered. Is that good? The message has actually prospered. All the soldiers here and everyone else too found out that I'm in jail because of this Messiah. That piqued their curiosity. And now they've learned all about him. Not only that, but most of the followers of Jesus have become far more sure of themselves in the faith than ever, speaking out fearlessly about God, about the Messiah. Paul is in prison. Now, he was in various types of prison, but when he wrote Philippians, he was basically under house arrest in Rome. He was paying for the place where he was staying, but he was chained to a Roman guard. You know, the old ball and chain? Well, he had a Roman guard that he was chained to 24/7. So he had some freedom to have people come in. Obviously, he could write because he wrote the book of Philippians. But I mean, that would be pretty difficult. You can't go out. You can't do things. And then you have this unsaved person, probably cusses. No telling what else they do. And this is who you're chained to. It wasn't like he was chained to Mother Teresa. Oh, let me take care of you, Paul. Let me cook for you. Let me, you know, wash your clothes. No, there's a Roman soldier. So it's a pretty difficult situation. But I love this attitude that he has, and that his imprisonment had the opposite effect. He brings people in. He's ministering to them. Every day he's got a new, you know, maybe they have 8-hour shifts. 3 new Roman soldiers every day he can witness to. He writes the book of Philippians and encourages other believers to go out and do more for the kingdom. I mean, that's just a superior attitude. Talk about making a, you know, digging ditches. I mean, I just love that. Now, how about your life? I don't see anybody, and I know we may feel our marriages are tough here, but is there anybody here chained to anybody else today? I just go ahead and admit it. I mean, I know. Anybody here chained to anybody else? What could we do today? Do you want some? I know this is good news, church. I can't tell where you're at today. I don't know if you're over, you've already left and gone to the Waffle House. I don't know. Eight hours of Friends or Seinfeld or whatever your show is every day is not going to produce a big tomorrow. I hate to burst your bubble. It's not going to do it. It may be digging a trench, but it's the kind of trench you don't want. Sitting there in front of the TV just eating junk food. What are some things you can do today? What are some practical things we can do today to have a big tomorrow? Do you believe that God wants you to have a big tomorrow? Do you believe that God's got big plans for you? Do you believe your future is bright? Do you believe Ephesians 3:20, super abundantly, more than we can ask or think or hope or dream or pray? Do you believe God's got big plans for you? Can I get an amen, somebody? Is that your destiny? Is that your destiny to change nations? Is that your destiny to change cities? Is that your destiny to change your school? Is that your destiny to change your family? You've been made to do great things. You have. Well, we've got some little things we've got to do today. Get fed up today. Get mad at me. Get spitting mad at me today. Throw things at me. Go ahead, throw things at me. Bible says, be angry and sin not. Be so angry that you want to make a change. This is your year.
Hallelujah.
Come on back here. This is your year. This is your year.
Yes.
This is a year for hopes and dreams to come to pass. This is a dream. This is a year for the desires of your heart to come to pass.
Right.
Woo!
Amen.
Woo! What did I say, man?
Bazinga.
Bazinga. I don't know what it means. I hope it's not bad. Bazinga. When you don't know what to say, say bazinga. Let's make a change today. Let's take some steps today.